Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The 1-2. And that's hammered. Deep to right. Ball game. Three-run home run for Larry Walker. The Rockies win it 4-1. He knew it before the ball got out of the infield. He hit it that well. Talk about driving the ball into the seats in right field.
It was so special. Like I say, I barely remember the moment. I was kind of floating on air and having some friends and family around me. And a lot of things entered my head when the phone rang. And as I was hearing what was being said to me, you know, as a Canadian, it was a proud moment for me to represent my country and be able to join Ferguson Jenkins in the Hall of Fame.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Congratulations to Larry Walker, along with Derek Jeter, inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. 304 total votes, just a handful more than Walker needed. After 17 years with the Expos, the Rockies, the Cardinals, and that incredible shirt that he wore on MLB Network. If you haven't seen it, you have to check it out. Producer Chris found a photo, and he just put it up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Thanks so much for tuning into our Hump Show here on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome Thomas Harding, who covers the Rockies for MLB.com and joins us from Denver. Thomas, we've heard a little bit of Larry Walker's reaction, but you've spoken to him. You know about this process. What did he say to you about getting into the Hall of Fame?
Well, it was a very emotional reaction, and his case kind of tells me, or at least kind of justifies, waiting a while after you retire and then taking a new look at this. Because I'll tell you, I was talking to him during what was a great career, and I once brought up the idea of the Hall of Fame, and he looked at me with that low voice and that sense of humor. He gives that wry smile and says, "Thomas, the only way I'm getting into the Hall of Fame is if I have a ticket." But the career ends, and you're looking at it, and during the career, there was all the controversy about playing at Coors Field. How much did that help the numbers? Then over the years, the new sabermetric stats, they've taken a new look at his career. And if you look at the value that he had out there on the field, he was as valuable as very few players in the history of the game. And people are looking like, wait a second. Just because he played in Colorado, we can't penalize him. Then you look at the numbers in Denver, and yeah, those were astronomical. But then he went on the road, which is very hard to do, and did quite well. The issue with Denver here is the ball breaks totally different. So your first day or so on the road, it's a big adjustment. And Larry Walker handled that like very few people all the time. Then you throw in the defense, the throwing arm, the way he would trick runners into running or not running. And all those things just add up to a guy that in real time you thought was one of the best players in the game. And now he lives forever in Cooperstown.
Do you think he had all but given up?
For a while there, yes. And then the last few years, you saw the vote totals increase. There's a guy that works for MLB.com, Manny Randhawa, who actually lives here in Denver. And he kind of took it up on Twitter saying, just putting the numbers out there. And Manny grew up a San Francisco Giants fan, really didn't know much about Walker, but then started looking at this, and he's like, wait a minute, this guy should be in the Hall of Fame because it's just the right thing to do. And I think a lot of the writers took a new look at it. Another thing that helped Walker was the ballot has been crowded for years. I mean,
right.
There's some pretty big Hall of Fame classes. This year, with two guys going in, I think it was the perfect storm to give Walker what he deserved.
Larry Walker gets into the Baseball Hall of Fame with six more votes than he needed. And what a great day it will be when he and Derek Jeter are on that stage at Cooperstown. Thomas Harding covers the Rockies for MLB.com. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The Rockies in the news back-to-back days this week. And the other big news item has nothing to do with the Hall of Fame. I am so curious about this, Thomas. What happened with Nolan Arenado? He gets this massive contract, and it sounds like it's going to be a marriage that lasts for a while, and now we find out that he wants out of Denver. Why?
I'll tell you what, this has been one of the stranger stories I've been involved with here at here covering the Rockies for MLB.com, and before that, the Colorado Springs Gazette. I mean, yeah, the contract was signed. There is a lot of money involved in it. However, a couple of things happened when they were putting together the deal because they didn't want Nolan to wait a year and go into free agency. And frankly, I think Nolan looked at free agency and it was a bit iffy. Were guys going to get the deals they had gotten in the past? But he got a $260 million deal over 8 years, and it set the market for guys after him. But the Rockies had gone to the playoffs the previous 2 years, and then last year everything fell apart. By the end of the year, none of their five starting pitchers were even on the mound. They were all on the injured list, and there were a couple of really bad stretches for the bullpen and for the hitters. I mean, at the beginning of the year when they were 3-12, and also in July when they were 6-19, all their key hitters, Arenado included, really slumped. So everything fell apart during last season. And it seems, reading the tea leaves, because there are a lot of things that aren't being said, and Nolan did talk about being disrespected, but he refused to say very many specifics. You look at this team, they have the 11th highest payroll in baseball last season in the 17th largest market. And there really isn't money to go after free agents. And they have some contracts that you would like to, if you're the Rockies, you'd like to be able to move them and save a little bit of money. They can't do that, so they're tapped out payroll-wise. So from the perspective of Nolan Arenado, it's, hey, you gave me this big contract. It was a signal that you guys were going for it every single year. I don't know that that was explicitly said, but it seems like that was the belief on his side. As far as the Rockies are concerned, they think they still have a young roster. Arenado, Trevor Story, the young Ryan McMahon, and David Dahl, who was an all-star, all those guys are in their 20s. The only big offensive performer in his 30s is Charlie Blackman. The entire starting rotation, they're in their 20s, and don't forget 2018, 2019, they were the key reason that the team got to the playoffs,
right.
And now they expect Wade Davis to bounce back. So they're dependent on a lot of bounce back, but usually in the offseason, you move things around and try to maybe go out and get parts you need or move parts around to fill weaknesses, and they're stuck there. So is Arenado frustrated about that? It does seem that way, and somehow this has blown up into this. I know that the Rockies did listen to teams, and they have listened to teams, and it seemed like what touched off yesterday's controversy was the general manager, Jeff Breidich, coming out in the Denver Post saying, Nolan Arenado is our third baseman. He'll be wearing purple and black. And by the time I texted him to get his opinion on that, he was seeing red, and that's what came out.
Did you see any signs of this during the season?
Late in the season, there were some quotes from Arenado, but if you put them in perspective, they really weren't that big. There was a quote in The Athletic where he said, this feels like a rebuild. But you look at the story itself, and it also quoted him as saying, hey, a lot of guys are trying to give a good impression for next season, and I have to lead by example. But he was frustrated about the losing at that point. He did say that he felt the Rockies were falling further behind because the Dodgers are always spending money. And I think that some of that has just sort of festered into the offseason.
Can it be fixed, Thomas, this relationship?
Yeah, it's really an interesting thing where if they don't make a deal, and I don't know that the deal is out there for the Rockies, and I'll get into that in a bit, but if they don't make a deal and they go to spring training, with him on the team. Frankly, it all depends on the pitching. If they pitch well early in the season and they are a contender, this story goes away until his opt-out after the 2021 season. So that's the key there, is that they really have to play well for this to work. I don't know what the relationship between Arenado and Jeff Breidich. I don't know the general manager. Don't know that will ever be a copacetic one. But as long as they're winning on the field, then they can go with this. And that's just the strangeness of this whole thing. If you look at the Marlins a few years ago, where they had Giancarlo Stanton, and he turned down a couple of trades with a no trade provision, same as Arenado has.
Right.
The Marlins were in the midst of a rebuild. They traded Marcell Ozuna. They traded Christian Yelich. So you knew that team was coming apart, or they were taking that team apart and wanting to rebuild for later. Because the Rockies have a lot of guys in the prime of their career, they don't want to take this team apart. They don't want to trade Trevor Story, even though he's arbitration eligible this year and next year. They don't want to trade John Gray, who's arbitration eligible next year. They feel like holding this group together, if they can hold this group together and get the pitching, they can win until these guys get older. Then they start cycling in their younger prospects. So it's a different situation, but when you have an unhappy star player, it does throw a lot of tension into it.
Thomas Harding of MLB.com with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that the team is attempting to unload their disgruntled, disrespected superstar. What would they take in return for a guy that they gave $260 million to?
I'll tell you what, that's where it gets to be a tough deal to make, because they still think they're pretty good. They're not going to be able to replace his production. I mean, you're talking about a wonderful player. And by the way, even with this going on, I think that he has a great attitude as far as winning baseball games. But you're talking about a guy that's won the Gold Glove all 7 years in the major league, someone who's hit at least 37 homers each of the last 5 years. They can't replace that. But can they get help for the starting pitching staff right now? Can they get a catcher? Because they have one veteran major league catcher on the roster. That's Tony Walters. A couple of guys are on minor league contracts. But can they get a catcher to go with him, to where the guy could be a 1A or even a number one catcher? Can they help the bullpen? Now, one of the things trade Nolan Arenado would do, if the Rockies probably are willing to pay a certain amount of that money, can they get the top pitching prospect and maybe even the top bat from the other team? It seems like they're asking a lot, and that's one of the reasons why a deal hasn't happened. They're asking for a whole lot, but their fallback is, hey, if we don't trade him, we still have one of the best players in baseball and still have a chance to win.
Well, it's been quite a 48-hour stretch for Colorado Rockies fans, from this news about their superstar in Arenado and then to hearing about Larry Walker getting into the Hall of Fame. And that shirt, by the way, that SpongeBob SquarePants shirt, is there some significance to Larry's shirt?
I still haven't figured that one out, but I have a feeling that baseball fans everywhere will want that. And I'll tell you, what a day today was for the Rockies fans, because this is a team, they've never won the World Series. They've been to one World Series. They've never won a division. But with that whole Coors Field thing hanging over them, it's almost like they're treated as something other than Major League. So this kind of validates the fans and the franchise. I don't know what would have happened if he hadn't gotten in on the heels of the Nolan Arenado news.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's be glad it didn't happen for the fans' sake, but mostly for Larry's sake. You can follow Thomas on Twitter at Harding_@_MLB. And we always appreciate a few minutes. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Amy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.